But Dell Complex are creating essentially a BlueSeer Frontier compute cluster, which is a massive barge that is in international waters that has 10,000 NVIDIA H100 GPUs on it.
For me, the question is more, what does that mean if it's possible? Because we are talking so much about AI regulations in Europe and all of that. Getting into regulated countries, are we even then a step back, basically, because of regulations? I think that are interesting questions, not we, but other people need to ask themselves.
I think it's a bad idea.
We will get to the stage whereby you can't tell whether it's a politician talking or an imitation of a politician talking.
I think we saw that already with the Pope. There's a picture of a coat, basically, was like a winter coat that companies are doing some advertisement for their services that are harming people.
Right. An interesting one today, and this is, and I'm not sure this is real, or at least, or if it's going to be real, I'm not sure it's real yet. But we found it, we thought it was quite an interesting topic for discussion. So there is a company called Dell Complex, and they are creating, I'm not related to Dell, the computer company, by the way, but Dell Complex are creating essentially a BlueSeer Frontier compute cluster, which is a massive barge that is in international waters that has 10,000 NVIDIA H100 GPUs on it, designed to provide unparalleled compute for artificial intelligence. And the premise of this business, really, that of putting all this compute infrastructure on a barge, is that it can be outside of any nation state. It can be in international waters, and therefore it is free from the constraints of any regulatory body. So I suppose the question really to everybody is, Christian and Lisa, is that a good idea? I'm not sure.
I don't think that's the question. For me, the question is more, what does that mean if it's possible? Because we are talking so much about AI regulations in Europe and all of that. And if we have a small group of people, of companies whatsoever, who are able to go around that regulation, even if it is a worldwide regulation, and then you have and to be honest, we will not get a signature for a regulation from all of the countries. What does it mean for the AI regulation business, basically? So does it make sense to regulate just a small part, or like Europe, or a small number of countries, when other countries can do whatever they want, or platforms with in international waters that can do whatever they want? So I think it puts the whole regulation topic in perspective, and I think a lot about what that means for AI being regulated, or if it's even possible to regulate it, or should we even do it if some people are not regulated, or are we causing problems then for the people in the regulations because they can't fight back if, for example, malware from AI regulated. Okay, I'm trembling now. If, like, for example, malware from not regulated countries or international waterships are getting into regulated countries, are we even then a step back, basically, because of regulations? I think that are interesting questions, not we, but other people need to ask themselves.
I think it's a bad idea. I really, really think it's a bad idea because those regulations, they might not be the best all the time, but in the end, they help all the environment, or not the biological environment, them also, but also humanity at itself. And Lisa, to your point of some nations not doing regulation, we could also transfer that to the financial market, for example, where we have regulations in some markets, and we have some countries where those regulations don't fit in, which are at the moment oftentimes in the news for any football leagues or whatever leagues things. That could also happen, but that should not slow us down in trying to understand what could be the risks of AI or other technical things. It's not only AI, it's everything. We should think on power of companies in general. Is that really what we want? And what I find most disturbing with that idea of those data centers in international waters is the idea of, yeah, we have no regulation on an AI, but we don't also want any regulation on our taxes, on our laws, and we just want to be ourselves, our own state. Mm. And I think that is a bad idea.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Just to give you a bit of background on this, Blue Sea Frontier Complex. Yeah, the premise is that it is its own nation state. It's got a permanent population. It has a defined territory. It has a government. And essentially, it sits in international waters. So even though it's a barge, it's an island and a nation state in that respect. But you're right. In that respect, is it any different to, let's say, for example, the financials of Switzerland or the Cayman Islands or something else on those lines, whereby these are countries that deliberately sit outside of financial regulation of other countries? So if you put your money there, for example, then other countries cannot find out who owns that money, who's responsible for that account, et cetera, et cetera. They have degrees of secrecy. And are there other places that would do this anyway? I mean, are there other countries around the world who would say, yeah, fine, you can build a compute cluster here, do whatever you like, we don't mind, we're not going to bother regulating AI no matter what the world says? And I don't think I'm, you know, being particularly contentious when I say maybe North Korea might decide to do that, because they can do whatever they like. It's they're their own nation state. So I think this, you may not need to do it on a barge, but the point is that AI regulation is you know, it's a complex thing, I suppose. So let's think about that for a second. What are the positives of AI regulation?
So for me, for example, a positive thing would be if like topics like bias and stuff like that are regulated. So for example, for official police systems and stuff like that, that they make sure no population is put a step back because of their gender, because of their race or whatsoever. So that would be a clear example for me where regulation makes sense. And just to clarify my point beforehand, I'm not against regulation. I'm just saying, okay, make sure you're not over-regulating. And also you should be aware that there are countries out there who may not have regulations, and we have to make sure that we are somehow keeping the level and not being completely left behind, because that could it could have other risks for us, basically.
Repercussions.
Yeah, it could leave weak points and stuff like that. Exactly.
And I'm totally with you there, Lisa. We have to think about it. We have to be careful. We don't have to overregulate, but we still have to understand what those systems are doing. And I don't say we need to open up every algorithm and learning model, but maybe at least the training data. Tell people what kind of data the system is trained on, because only then can we know if it has been only trained with old white dudes or not.
Luke, I think that's
very important. Sorry, Tony?
He's appeared from time to time. People called Luke, I think, was there on our data bias
exactly.
Episode.
it's Luke all the time. Yeah, or as we said in that episode, the applicants system for new jobs. Luke. Yeah. So that is, I think, where we have to take a look on. But
yeah, I think that's it. I think people who think of AI sort of think that it's this magic thing that just sort of like generatively creates or generatively understands what's going on. But in reality, what it is a massive quantity of data that has to be ingested by it for it to learn. And if we don't really quite selectively choose that data and are very conscious of privacy, security when it comes to choosing that data, we can either intentionally or unintentionally or just ineptly train an AI into having a specific bias or a specific leaning whereby we don't necessarily want it. And I think that's the sort of thing that doesn't come across. People sort of think of, oh, well, you know, generative AI is great. That's just generative AI. That's fine. We shouldn't be stopping that. But actually what they're not thinking of is the fact that maybe we've had to consume art and products that were created by other parties that they should be earning royalties from to be able to actually create that generative AI. And that's not ethical because those people put all their time and effort into doing so. So I think it's really important with regard to how we train that. And it doesn't work unless you have a massive quantity of it. You can't train an AI on a very small amount of data. So I think maybe that sort of gets lost a little bit under the table when people start talking about, whether AI should be regulated or not.
Yeah, and also I feel like the other end of it, the use end of it. So basically, like if we have a doctor's recommendation system, is it just a help system for the doctor and the doctor's completely deciding everything? Or is it like the top-notch system which decides, okay, are we doing the operation or are we doing not doing the operation? I think that's the other side of it, the data we're generating, how is it weight and what's happening with the output basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, has that data been checked and confirmed that it isn't in some way biased towards specific gender of patients, specific color of patients, all that sort of stuff, specific location where they live? All of these elements can be inadvertent biases we can throw into that data because of the fact that we just got the data we could have. We didn't think about it.
And I think what is also interesting with that idea is that that maybe company, nobody really knows, that is behind the idea. I think they forgot that they can say they want to be a sovereign state, but all the other states have to accept that. There's no such thing like I'm proclaiming Christian city now, and now it's done. All the countries around me have to accept, oh, this is a sovereign thing now. We have to deal. We have to do trade things. By the way, the thing has to be powered somehow. And even if they want to put gas turbines in that, they have to get their gas somewhere. They have to get some internet access somewhere. So I think that is an interesting idea, and that's a nice marketing website, but it's not as easy as they suppose it would be. And also international waters doesn't mean there's no laws at all. It's absolutely not allowed for pirates to enter every ship once it reaches international water. There are still laws and there are still worldwide agreements on basic law things that are also working in international waters. So I think, yeah, nice idea, but not really reality.
I don't know. I'm cynical. What can I say? I think that the if given the opportunity, I would wager a lot of this comes down to money. And I would wager there are a lot of very wealthy people out there who would be more than happy to have their ransomware AI run it, be learning on a load of data being done in international waters somewhere where there's no comeback on them. Because I expect there's an awful lot of people out there earning an awful lot of money from ransomware. And if this gave them complete or, you know, outside of any regulation, then they'd leap at the chance and they probably can afford to do it as well. So. It's probably slightly cynical on my part, but money makes the world go round most of the time, doesn't it?
If that would be viable, then I think they will do it. But there are already data centers on ships. I did a little bit research, and there are companies selling data centers on ships, but they are not bringing it somewhere 200 miles away from the coast. They are basically doing it directly at the coast because they use the cooling water, for example. So they have their energy efficiency benefits there. It's also more protected from any bumps or something like that. If people want to invest some money, then I think that might be a better solution than going for that skyrocketing, wah, 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 somewhere in 20 years in the future thing.
I mean, there are even some data centers under the sea now, exactly, where they are testing capsules that are under the sea and basically operating from there in a vacuum. And yeah, that's also something interesting to test, and I think a little bit more promising than all of that, because even like NVIDIA, I couldn't imagine if this would get a bad reputation that NVIDIA would continue to deliver them GPUs. And I mean, they're not too many GPU manufacturers, at least the big ones are not too many. So I think there would also be at least a little concern about the reputation, and that maybe a manufacturer would decide to pull out of a project that just goes out and market it basically with, we don't have any laws here and you can do whatever you want.
And maybe it's even in their terms of contract already. That might be, and nobody read them. So we don't know. But what's really interesting, this data center under the sea thing that you mentioned, Lisa. I also read a report today. The maintenance that they had to do was 1/8 of a data center on land. That's really interesting. You would think, oh, if there's a capsule somewhere under the water, it would be way more maintenance to do. But it seems the whole system seems to be way resource or taking less resources for maintenance than data centers on land. Very interesting.
So how does that work? So is it inside? Because I've seen circuit boards now that you can literally submerge. So is the whole computer essentially submerged, and therefore the entire circuit board is essentially submerged, or are you putting it inside a container or stroke capsule and then running it underwater because it's cooler? Is that the idea?
Exactly, it looks like a submarine basically. Where you put everything in, or like a gas tank, a very large gas tank or something like that. It's very, very dense. And I think they put in some gas because you don't need air. Is it nitrogen? I don't know exactly what it is.
Probably that's inert, isn't it? It's an inert gas.
So you don't have oxygen, which hinders rusting and stuff like that. So and as there are no people in there, you don't need oxygen. So that also helps. And then you have the cooling system. You have basically the same temperature all over the year. That's also very, very beneficial.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was going to say, when it comes to, let's go back to AI regulation for a second. So one of the things that the regulation side of things, I don't dislike. I think the point is to have some regulations, because of the fact that what we need is we need for AI that we train to be accurate. Otherwise, it's no use. We're going back to data bias primarily, but also down to privacy and various other elements like that. But also, we do know that regulation can slow things down. And at the moment, AI is moving at a ridiculous pace. The development of AI-related elements, I mean, you'd only have to look at Photoshop or what have you, the amount that has evolved in the last 12 months is staggering. So and that's just generative AI, but AI in general is moving along at a ludicrous pace. Would regulation even be able to maintain that or be able to keep up with that?
I think it really depends on the level of regulation. I think there are possibilities to lay some baselines. And whatever systems are doing, they have to follow those basic things. I think it doesn't make any sense to define which kind of models an AI can use, or how many nodes are needed and whatever. I think that is way too deep inside. And I think regulation would never be able to keep pace with that. But having that basic thing don't kill humans, just as a basic idea, maybe.
We're back to the three laws of robotics here, are we, at this point?
Maybe that is what we need. I don't know. But if we keep it on that level and we say you have to open up your training data, It doesn't matter what kind of AI model, whatever you need, you have to do it. Point done. I think that level of regulation can help, and we can implement that pretty fast, I think.
Yeah. So it's not so much the where it's going, it's the fact that what we train it on has to be acceptable, ethical, I suppose is the good word there, isn't it? It's got to be ethical data in the fact that it's something that is valid, not stealing from other people, and not in some way either insecure or breaking privacy rules.
And I think we have some good examples, for example, like gene medicine. So there are ethical rules basically around the world that manipulating human genes is not okay. We are not allowed to manipulate babies by gene things to always have blue eyes and blonde hair. That's just not okay. I think that might be the level where we have to check for.
Yeah, no, and that's it. And the bizarre thing about that, and I find this fascinating, is the fact that there are still people out there who want to break those rules, and I find that amazing. But they, there you go.
And they will ever always be.
They will always be. Yes, yeah. I agree. One of the things that's a TV show. Have you guys seen The Capture? Silly question. No. Okay,
but in Germany, I think in Germany it would sound something completely ridiculous, because all the German TV series have to have such an undertitle and a completely different name. So it might be that we saw it, but we don't know it.
Yeah, worth a look. But again, I think we're back down to sort of AI utilizing things like deepfakes. And I think to a certain extent at the moment and I think this is going to be one of those things that explodes over the next year or so. The fact that AI-generated voices and AI-generated faces are going to be, and video is going to be massively on the rise. And again, that's something that you can't really ethically create, because you have to essentially feed it so much data of people's own faces if you're going to imitate somebody, to be able to actually make it work, to make it accurate. That you can only do that to one of its purposes by taking a lot of information. So maybe you could say, well, that information is in the public eye. Therefore, I'm allowed to look, if I'm looking at all that video footage from the media, therefore I'm allowed to do that. But I do think that's going to be a big thing moving forward, where we have like essentially deep fake AIs that are almost indistinguishable from actual people. And again, this is the sort of thing whereby, is this something we should be thinking is a good idea or a bad idea? And at the moment, I can't see any reason why this would possibly be a good idea, unless we want to replace actors with AI.
That's a good point. Did you see that with the actor strike in the US?
Yep.
That was actually one of those reasons why they strike, because the Hollywood studios wanted to get their permission to use them as AI figures in the
absolutely. I think they wanted to pay them certainly, maybe not with
a one-time fee or something. Yeah,
maybe not with the famous actors, but with the seconds and the extras. What they wanted to do was bring the extras in, scan them for a day, pay them for a day, and then use them as AI, and just use them as, you know, I don't know, Unreal Engine AIs. They'd just thrown in. Using their likeness so they could save loads of money. And you sit there thinking like, no, that's just a bit, we're back to money again, but that's a little bit dodgy, isn't it really? But yeah, there's going to be a lot of that, I think, moving forward, because again, it's often financially driven, but I also think there's going to be a lot of manipulation. We've seen that with elections and things of that nature. So I don't see any reason why that would not be leapt upon at various points in the future. And we will get to the stage whereby it's, you can't tell whether it's a politician talking or an imitation of a politician talking.
I think we saw that already with the Pope in the winter thing.
Amazing picture.
Very, very great picture, but it was just not real.
I'm not sure I've seen this. Go on then.
There's a picture of what's the name of the coat, basically. It was like a winter coat. A golden...
Like a big puffer coat, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So those pictures are there already.
A bomber jacket.
Somebody photoshopped it on him or something like those lines, or
yeah, generated it with I don't know which solution, but gave me a picture of the Pope wearing that golden thing.
Amazing.
Yeah. You have to Google it. It's worth a watch.
Yeah. Looks good. I think we are there. And as we said, it's getting easier and easier. I think that is what is important. Also what makes the danger. It's getting easier and easier to fake things. And we as humanity have to understand that what we see is not always what we should trust. That is more true now, I think, than ever. But
agreed.
Still, it should be forbidden, even if it's possible. And some people will do it. Some things like, I don't know, fake porn stuff or something like that just should be not allowed.
Christian, I'm shocked.
Sorry. Yeah, I just read an article that it's actually on the rise, even so far that companies are doing some advertisement for their services that are harming people. I think, we should think about that also.
Yeah, no, it's horrendous, isn't it?
And even for some journalist, I remember an article a few years back of a female journalist who got an attack like that. So basically there was pictures and videos of her in not so professional settings, and that basically destroyed her career, or they tried to destroy her career. And it's very, very serious business. And I think the project we read about today, if it's true or not, I think it's at the end of the day not making the difference. If there are a few Blue Seer Fronty compute clusters, BSFCC for short or not so short, if they are there or not, I think that's nothing that comes into play in the big picture after we talked about it today. And I think we have quite a common opinion that there should be regulations on a high level, not too detailed, because otherwise we are running behind AI basically. And then see how it goes. So what do you guys think?
I think you've summed it up beautifully. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's exactly the case. I think regulation is got to be a good thing, primarily to do with the way that we train, because we can't train without making sure that the data we train with is valid data. And hopefully that means that what we end up with is better AI, but not more damaging AI. So yeah, I think that's definitely the way forward.
Nothing to add.